49. Gabe drove south. Izzy sat beside him, a small rucksack clutched on her lap. She held it tightly, possessively, and he wondered what was inside that was so precious. Katie dozed with her children in the back, exhaustion and the motion of the van lulling them. What was Katie's connection to all of this? A waitress in a service station. She can't have just stumbled over his daughter. So how did she find her? Was she somehow involved? It seemed so unlikely. On the other hand, could it be a coincidence that she had just happened to work in the cafe where he'd always stopped for coffee? Always smiling, always nearby. Could he even trust her? But then, she had saved his life. And wasn't she the one making the leap of faith here, letting a complete stranger drive her and her children who knows where? Secrets, he thought. It's not the big lies, but the small ones, the half-truths. Those are the ones that mount up, one on top of another, like a giant stinking fatberg of deception. And when that blew, you really were in the shit. He forced his attention onto the road. They had left the motorway a few miles back. It was a dank, dark day, mist starting to lumber in from the hills. As they broke out of suburbia and onto the country roads, it felt more like night, just the flare of cat's eyes and the occasional glow from a farmhouse guiding the way. Gabe didn't need them. He knew this way well. In a few more miles, they would be heading towards the coast.
Where are we going?
Izzy asked.
Somewhere the bad man won't find us, he told her.
She bit her lip, hugged the bag tighter. Something inside rattled and clicked.
Fran used to say that. She promised, but she was wrong.
Who's Fran?
She looked after me.
The woman, he thought.
The woman who took her.
Was she kind to you?
Yes, mostly.
Mostly?
Did she ever hurt you?
No, but she got cross sometimes, and she was sad.
Did you love her?
I suppose.
He swallowed down a bitter wedge of anger.
Well, I never want to break a promise to you, but I will do everything in my power to look after you and make you happy, okay?
He felt her eyes on him, searching for the truth.
Okay.
However, I will still make you do your homework, and no boyfriends until you're at least 30. Her lips moved a fraction. Nearly. So nearly a smile.
Okay.
And then she yawned and closed her eyes. He watched her for a moment, drinking in the sight. Then he reached for his phone in the holder on the dashboard. He tapped the screen and brought up a contact, one he hadn't been forced to speak to in a long time. And then he pressed call. Another hour, and he saw the familiar dark swell of the downs start to rise ahead of them. Soon the winding country roads that snaked through the Sussex countryside would start to rise, the forests and funnels of trees falling away as they started to climb up to the cliffs. A beautiful part of the country. A rich part of the country. A lot of refugees from London moved here when they decided they had had enough of and earned enough from their city lifestyles, investing in renovated farmhouses with acres of land that they tried to prevent walkers from crossing, kidding themselves that they were living the rural life because they owned a Range Rover and wore their hunter wellies to Waitrose, because obviously they paid someone else to walk the Labradoodle through the muddy fields. However, it was also an area with several impoverished seaside towns where unemployment and crime ran high, where there was always the undercurrent of violence and a persistent resentment at the rich Londoners, at the tree-hugging lefties in Brighton, and in particular, at the immigrants who had settled in many of the poor council estates, like the one he grew up in. But they weren't heading there. They turned off the main coast road onto a small private lane, and the house drew into view. Just the upper stories visible above the high walls that surrounded it. From a distance in the fog, it looked grey, like some kind of stone castle perched upon the cliff top. Up close, it was whitewashed bright white, like a lighthouse. Beyond the wrought iron gates stretched a long gravel driveway and acres of green lawn, and almost every room had a view of the sea. That was the property's name. Seashells. Gabe pulled up outside the imposing iron gates. Katie had woken up and she peered out of the window.
What is this, a hotel?
No.
Who lives here?
A woman named Charlotte Harris used to live here with her daughter.
Not anymore. Her daughter was hit by a drunk driver when she was 14. She was left in a persistent vegetative state. She's cared for by private nurses in a special wing of the house.
Oh, God.
He waited a second and then said, I was the drunk driver. I visit her every week. I have done for over 20 years. He climbed out of the car and walked up to the gates, leaving this information to sink in. For Katie to put the pieces together. After a moment, he heard her climb out of the car after him.
And her mother is going to let us stay here?
No. He tapped numbers into the security pad set into the wall. Charlotte Harris is dead.
Then who actually owns this place?
Gabe pressed a button, and the gates started to swing open. I do.